I'll start with this story. This has been a number of years ago. A couple has an emergency at the hospital. They've taken their child there, local hospital. They're in the emergency room. They're waiting on word what is going to become of our child. Most of you have been in that situation with a loved one before, where you're sitting down in that waiting room and it is hard when you don't know. You don't know what's happening beyond those doors in the inner sanctums of the ER or the wherever they have taken them. And you're sitting there and you want to do something. You'd like to turn heaven and earth, but you seem powerless to be able to do anything. This couple's sitting there. In this case, they're a couple who's unchurched, doesn't know the Lord, had no relationship with the Lord whatsoever. And so the pain and all of this is upon them. Another family is there. Family is there who knows the Lord has come to visit someone else. And it's a happier time because their loved one is on the upswing and things are getting better. And they walk through that place. And something just draws them to those people. They're there. They may have been at the drink machine and just introduced themselves, or been sitting next to them over in the other part of the waiting area and heard the story, but they introduce themselves. They start to ask the question, well, what's going on? What's happening? And the story comes forth about the accident and about the loved one that is back there teetering between life and death. And then the question, well, could we pray for you? May I pray for you? Everything turns on that one question. I've seen that happen so many times. I can't tell you how many times in my life where I've witnessed that, where I've been a part of that myself. And seen that, and there are some of you that have been there. When I was there, we were there together, and you saw God move into a place like that. It wasn't time for the four spiritual laws. It wasn't time for let's use some slick evangelism techniques on someone. The need was already there. It was out there. It was obvious. These people are hurting. They need someone who is bigger than their need. A simple question. May I pray for you? And boy, I've seen that question then issue into a time where, you know, for the next hour, there are people there interceding, opening up. Well, I've never met the Lord. Tell me about Jesus. And people receiving the Lord there. You name it, and probably the situation has taken place. That story is legion. The title of today's message is, May I Pray for You? I'm going to tell you the story, or read the story to you from 1 Kings. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll read this chapter to you so you can get the story today. Beginning in verse 1. This is about Elijah the Tishbite, an experience that he had. Hang in here with me because I want you to see this all draw together. Verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, Ahab's king of Israel at that time, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Now Ahab, just a brief introduction to him, one of the most evil kings that ever sat on the throne there, was married to Jezebel. Remember Jezebel? Prophecies spoken over them of how they would meet their end. And now this word comes from the Lord for the drought, no rain. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Now, what are they going to provide? McDonald's? No better than McDonald's. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook of Cherith, which is east of Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. I guess that's more than you get at McDonald's. Yeah, you get mystery meat in those burgers, but the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Here's the situation. He's telling Elijah, his prophet, the man of God, what to do. He's just announced to the king of the land, and boy, the king hates him, and more than that, the queen hates him. Jezebel hates his guts. They want him dead. And now the Lord directs him to this other place. Go by this brook, and the ravens are going to come and feed you there. You know, one miraculous thing after another. Can God do that, by the way? You believe He can do it? Of course He can. He's God. Do whatever He wants to do. But now the brook dries up. So what does He do? Then, verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, you're going to find that's a key part of this passage of Scripture. The word of the Lord came to him, saying. Now, I want to remind you at this point, as it's spoken, the word of the Lord came to him, saying. He had to be listening to the word of the Lord. Let me ask you the question right now. How many times did the word of the Lord come to you this week, but you ignored it or weren't listening? Or weren't in a place to listen to it? There are too many other noises to hear. The still, small voice of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him saying, verse 9, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. And behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now here's the situation. God's speaking to Elijah here at the brook of Cherith, and He's commanding him to go now to Zarephath, next destination, Zarephath, and there's a widow there that's going to provide for him. Would you say this is a divine appointment? You see God working on both ends of what's going on. Now I want to remind you that Elijah is in a spirit of prayer. You say, well, it doesn't say he prayed. No, he's listening to God. That's what prayer is. We're listening to Him and we're speaking to Him. It's a two-way street. That passage in 1 Thessalonians, it says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. That means to be in a spirit of prayer at all times so you can hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think God wrote it in the sky? Well, He could have, but probably not. Do you think He had a neon sign? Well, they didn't have neon back then. But God could have done it. Did God give some other stone tablets to him that said? No, probably not. God probably spoke it into his spirit. And he knew he was hearing from God. Do you know what I'm talking about? When God gets your attention and he speaks something to you and you know it's his voice. So you got Elijah over here, who's on his way to a divine appointment with a widow that he's never met, that supposedly God has already spoken to this widow, and it says he's commanded a widow there to provide for you. So on the other end, and this is something, I've read this story, I don't know how many times, but I had always missed this part of it, that God's already talking to the widow ahead of time. He's speaking there too. Now, back to my illustration about the in the hospital room. Do you think that those people that were in that ER that had that great tragedy that was going on in their life, do you think that's the first time God had attempted to speak to them? You could probably line up a lifetime of situations where God was attempting to speak. Wasn't attempting, He was speaking. But maybe they were not listening. So, what does Elijah do? Exactly what God says. Verse 10 says, so he arose and he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a woman, a widow, was there gathering sticks. Now, just a moment. Who do you think this, what do you think this woman was looking for? Just imagine, the Scripture doesn't say exactly what God had spoken to her, but it said the Lord had commanded a widow there. So does she know his name? Does she know what he looks like? Is he going to stand out in the crowd in some way? Behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and he said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. This point, Elijah knows that it's her. As she was going to get it, he called her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Awfully forward of him. But if you already have an appointment, it's not forward at all, because you're expecting. But she said, as the Lord, as Yahweh, your Elohim, your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. What's she preparing right now? What's she preparing to do? She's preparing the Last Supper. Now, I want to ask you, where's the disconnect for her? She's heard from God. We know before this. She's already heard from the Lord. But her faith isn't there. She's not trusting that God's going to do this, because she's preparing to die, not preparing to live. Enough flour, enough oil, make one meal. You know, there's drought in the land. Everything's dried up. There's not enough food. You know, we have drought. You know, that means you got to alternate every other day when you water your grass. Drought does not strike in us the gravity of situation of what drought really is. It meant you didn't have anything to eat. Then Elijah answers her. He says, do not fear. See, fear was all over. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first. Interesting word there, first. Because you're going to give to the Lord first. By the way, that's how tithing happens too. When we give back to the Lord, we give Him first. Because, by the way, all of it is a gift from God, isn't it? The breath we breathe, we're not breathing our air. It's a gift from God. M- Make me a little cake from it and bring it to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. Now she's already, now that's already one more cake than what she was counting on. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. There's the promise. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. There's her first step of faith. She comes into agreement with what the Word of God has spoken. Now, apparently though, before this, she was not in agreement with what God was speaking in her life. But now she's face to face with the prophet of God. He's shown up like God said He was going to show up. And she's got to deal with it. She chooses faith. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord which He spoke through Elijah. According to the word of the Lord. I want you to see the progression here. You see, Elijah, in his life being affected in a miraculous way, according to the word of the Lord, as he was obedient to that word. Now, as he touches the life of someone else, what happens to her as she becomes obedient according to the word of the Lord? Another miracle happens. Flour's not going away, oil's not going away. And the promise is, until the drought is lifted. It's a long time. Verse 17. Now it came about that after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. God's not through with this yet. He's not a drive-by God who brings one blessing and up, then you don't see Him for a long time. He's not a... this is not a theistic, deism that believes, God just sets things in motion and then backs away. People early in the life of our country, that we have some very famous people in our history that were deists, and that's what they believe, that God would set things in motion and then back away. No! He is the God that continues to chase after us, to get involved in our business, to go where we are, to go where we're hurting, where we're struggling, to go right in the middle of this woman's situation. She's about to die. She's about to go and have her last meal. But God, through this unusual set of circumstances, speaks miraculously to her and then sends the flesh and blood prophet there on her doorstep. He is the answer to the prayers. And she comes in agreement with it. Now her son is sick. His sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. What does that mean? He died. So she said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death." Going back, and see, this is always the trick of the enemy. Always the trick of the enemy. To go back and say, "You don't deserve the grace of God. Look at your path. Look at you. Look at how you treated me. Look at how you were in the past." No! That's not the point. God loved her enough to allow her the privilege of being a part of His plan right there. And you may be sitting here today and you may be thinking, God doesn't know about my business. You better be certain today He knows every detail of where you are. He knows exactly what's going on in your mind and heart. He knows your situation. And He wants an invitation to come and be right in the middle of it. But you got to let Him. You got to allow Him to come. Give Him an invitation. And be obedient to things when you don't understand. I want to ask you, did this woman understand everything? Could she see it all ahead? No, she couldn't. This weird guy, this weird prophet guy. And by the way, prophets back then, they stood out. They stood out. You knew when the guy came into town, he was not your garden variety fellow. He stood out. And here, you know, she's had this experience. The Lord has spoken to her, and now this guy shows up. He tells her to do this with the oil and the flour, and she comes back and does this. But now her son is dead. So now, what might be the lie that would be going through her mind? Well, Lord, why didn't you... I'm putting word... This is Dusty thinking this. But why didn't you just let me and him die together and not involve this prophet in our lives and not hold out false hope and not think that it's better? And I guarantee you there are some of you here today that have been thinking that same thing about your relationship to the Lord. So why have I invested all this time with the Lord and look what it's come to? No, that's not what it is. No, that's not what it is. He's just giving you the next opportunity to get out of second grade and get on to third grade. To grow in Him. To receive all that He wants you to. He didn't want this woman to just survive. He wanted her to thrive. To thrive in Him. She said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God?" In other words, get away from me. You've come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and put my son to death. And then he said to her, "Give me your son." You see what this is? It was easy for her to give herself and her stuff and her life and livelihood. But now her son. "Give me your son." And I don't want you to see here that just Elijah, but I want you to see this is God. This is Yahweh who is asking her this greatest step of faith. "Give me your son." And then he took him from her bosom. Just imagine the picture for just a moment. Can you imagine how she was clutching on to that dead boy? Now the picture here is of us. How much in our lives that is dead are we clutching onto that if we released it to the Lord, it will come alive? He called out. Excuse me. He took him from her bosom and he carried him up to the upper room where he was living, and he laid him on his own bed. And he called to the Lord and he said, "Oh, Yahweh, my Elohim, have you also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die?" I want you to see the imagery here. This is a picture of Jesus right here. This is a picture of Yeshua, who the Scripture says was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who knew all of our challenges, all of our struggles, who became our intercessor, the one, our bridge, our go-between between us and the Father. And he's asking the question that was on her heart. Can you see that? Can you see how Jesus does that today? Even as we pray, there are times when our words can't express what is that. I hope y'all are getting this. This is rich here. This is rich. It's a beautiful picture reminder of a Christ who would come. Then he stretched himself out over the child three times. Take the imagery on with me. How long was he in the grave? Audrey says I should do it like that, but it's easier to do it like that. What is that? 3 days. Stretched himself. And then what happens after 3 days? He called to the Lord and he said, "Oh Lord, my God, oh Yahweh, my Elohim, I pray you let this child's life return to him." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. He breathed on him, and life came back. And then Elijah took the child, and he brought him down from the upper room into the house, and he gave him to his mother. The gift now. She was willing to let go. But you see this? Until you let go, you can't receive. You don't receive anything like this. Let go. And he gave him to his mother, and Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Get it now. Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of Yahweh in your mouth is truth." The story's all about prayer. May I pray with you? That was the attitude of Elijah's heart. It was an attitude of, "Lord, I'm your servant. I'm going to be that person where you want me to be." In every place he goes, life is breathed in. And when life is breathed in, death cannot remain. Now hear me on this. I want to challenge you today to do something. The simple question, "May I pray with you?" There are widows and there are little children. Yes. They're the faces in this story, but they are legion in our city. They're people that are surrounding us that don't know what to do. Their lives are shambles. They're thinking like this lady that we're going to have our last meal. Hope is not present in their lives. And for many that you look on the outside and you say, "Oh, they got all the stuff and they may even have a real good job that happens to be paying real well right now." But if you look on the inside, there is death. They're dying by inches. And they need the wind from elsewhere. They need someone to come with the good news and to say, "There's a better way for you." Many people in your family that if you just became the instrument of God, "May I pray with you?" A simple question like that. All the resources of God then become focused as you pray. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God hears your prayers? Do you believe that He answers your prayers? As you intercede for others, that all of heaven then is concentrated on you. I don't understand that. I don't understand the omniscience, the omnipresence, the omnipotence of God. That's beyond my pay grade. But I trust that God knows it all and is all, and that He can give all of His time and energy right here in this situation. May I pray with you? I know some of you are reluctant. Maybe you've never prayed out loud. Well, pray silently. But ask them the question, because you are the representative that God has sent. Yes, we're apostolic in that. We believe that God sends us into place. You think you've got the job where you are, that you live the place where you live, have the friends that you do, have the influence that you have. You think that's because you thought it up? That you decided that you would be born here rather than somewhere else. Today I want to tell you, you're on an appointment with God. God placed you where you are. You're not here by accident. Your life is not being lived out by accident. If you're measuring your life by what the world standards are and what the church world standards are, you've missed it a long way, I want to tell you today. Because there's only one opinion that matters, and that is His. He has sent you where you are. How important is a soul? How important is the life of one family? I want to ask you. Was it important that somebody shared the gospel with Billy Graham? How important was that? Well, it's just one. It's just one little boy. One young man. One teenager. One gangly teenager. What difference could that make? You don't know. And you may not know in your lifetime the influence God will have through you. May I pray with you? A simple question with a simple prayer. I challenge you to do it this week. Instead of complaining about all the stuff and going through all, well, listen to the person's problem, but then say, let's pray. Well, preacher, I don't have all the fancy words. You know, I just don't believe God's impressed by fancy words. Because what does God look through? He sees what is on the heart. We're in a political season. We're hearing a lot of fancy words, aren't we? And those fancy words get piled up real high sometimes, don't they? And they have a smell that isn't like daisies. Do you get it? About fancy words? You pray. Do what God tells you to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. And if you're willing to take the challenge, you can pray this prayer with me that, Lord, open my eyes to the people around me and let me see. And you see, we're not just praying. That's how most of us think. Prayer is a last resort. We're praying! That means all the eyes of heaven are on that situation. Do you believe it? Let's bow our heads. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus in your life, I want you to know He's enough. He is the Lord of all creation. He stepped down out of heaven. He came and lived a perfect life in your behalf, lived in the flesh, died on a cross, was buried, rose again on the third day, ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And today He's asking you, will you receive Me into your life to be your Savior forever? May I pray with you about this? You're here today and you've known the Lord for a good while. And maybe you've rocked into a comfortability that gets a little boring at times. And you need a Holy Spirit lightning bolt right now. May I pray with you? You're here today and you've got some needs, some physical needs. You need a miracle of healing in your life. You need a miracle of healing in your emotional life. You feel like damaged goods, and you need someone to put Humpty Dumpty back together again because you feel broken. May I pray with you? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. You alone are God. You are Yahweh. You are our Father. You are Yeshua, the Son of God. You are the Holy Spirit who is present here right now. I pray, Lord, for any today who have never received. If you're hearing this right now, you can invite the Lord into your life right now simply by asking Him. By faith, say, Lord, come into my life and save me. I give my life to You. Lord, I pray for a lightning bolt. As I heard somebody say it earlier, in prayer, ignite us. Ignite the powder keg so that we can be an explosive power for Jesus in these days. And Lord, I pray Your healing to come as the balm of Gilead. Lord, that You would soothe. That You would put back together broken lives. Physical healing, Lord. We pray that right now. In Yeshua's name. Amen. The altar is open. If you'd like to come, we receive you now. was still in an attitude of prayer. Come in, Stace. I want her to share this, what she just shared with me. Experience she had this week.
I feel real uncomfortable sharing this today, so that's all God saying, you need to share it, but because it looks like, ooh, look what she did, and so this is not about me. I just want to share what God did through me just because I was there, no credit to me. But just three different times this week, I was walking at Lake Mayor, reading at the bench. This 82-year-old man comes up and leans on the bench. I think he's exhausted. He's about to, and just starts talking to me. He just needed a listening ear. And at the end, I just said, may I pray with you? And he was kind of startled because, well, anyways. But, and so I did, and that was just such a blessing. And then yesterday, I went jogging. That's not unusual, but I jogged to Dollar General to get glue for my daughter's school project to hit two birds with one stone. Ran into someone from our church that's going through some really difficult things that I didn't know. Got to pray with her. This morning, I went to St. Joseph's. There's this place I love to have my quiet time. I hardly ever do this, though. And there's a little fountain there. You know where it is. And some rose bushes and the birds. And it's just so peaceful. And there was an elderly lady there with her caregiver. She was in a wheelchair. And they were enjoying the serenity, too. And I went and sat on one of the benches and just was having my God time. And immediately, and they were very pleasant looking, smiling at me, not scary in any way. And God was saying, I want you to go pray with her. And I was just like, no, you know, I don't know her. And I just kept not doing it, going about my business. And then they start to walk away. And it's like God said, and I knew I am going to miss it if I don't do this. And so I followed them on. And I just said, you know, God really wanted me to come ask you if I could pray with you today. May I pray with you today? And my heart is for this elderly woman, but it's the caregiver who just about burst into tears. She said, I wish there was more people like you. And yes, and the elderly woman was like, yes. And we just shared what was going on with her. And I just prayed for her. And the caregiver is just in tears. And she, because this woman, y'all can pray for her, name is Miss Sarah. She's broken some bones. I guess she's in her 80s. She needs to walk. And she's kind of afraid. She's not fighting. And so this caregiver is burdened. And she just said, I so needed that today. Thank you. And so I'm not sharing that for credit to me. But the times that I have not still haunt me. And if you feel that prompt, do it, even if it's a stranger. I've only had one person say, no, I don't want you to pray with me, okay? But you are still obedient to go try if God puts it on your heart because you just don't know the need. Thank you.
May I pray with you? I know some of you are thinking, that takes great boldness. You go up to the McDonald's counter and order from a stranger all the time. Now I pray with you. Who might God have in store for you? We'd like to get those cards from you today. And if you have an offering to bring to the Lord, the baskets are here. And we're going to do one more verse as a basket in the back. Come at this time.